1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, like newborn babies, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if you indeed have tasted that the Lord is good. That's right, friend. We need to be growing up in our walk and our relationship with Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Happy Thursday. It is officially spring, and all God's people said amen. I'll tell you what, it has been one long, hard winter. That is for sure. It's, I'll tell you what, yesterday I was celebrating for the first day of spring yesterday. That's for sure. I think it was officially last night at 4:56 p.m. Central Time or something like that, but whatever. It's here. Praise the Lord. I got the party streamers up. Still got some leftover cake in celebration of the new season. Hey, it is so good to see you, friend. I hope you're having a great week. If not, praise God for his grace and strength. Amen. Praise God for his grace and strength to sustain us in those rough and tough weeks. I'll tell you what, I don't know what I would do without the Lord. That's for sure. Lots of stuff coming up here on Great News Radio. You can take a look at all the upcoming events at our website at greatnewsradio.org. Huntley Brown is coming to town Sunday night, April 7th, 7 p.m., First United Methodist in Urbana. The Singing Men of GNN will be there as well. It's going to be a free concert, general open seating, a love offering being taken. But if you want an up and close and personal evening, I really encourage you to pursue the $25 Artist Circle Reserve seating with a chance to mingle with the world-renowned pianist Huntley Brown. Again, it's all taking place on Sunday, April 7th at 7 p.m. You can get your Artist Circle Reserve seating tickets by calling 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, or by visiting greatnewsradio.org. Also, coming up on Wednesday night, April 10th, there's going to be some information about our trip that we're going to be taking to Washington, D.C., entitled Our American Heritage. There's going to be a special informational meeting at the Great News Radio Center in Lincoln Square in Urbana. You can learn about the trip that will be later on in the fall in October for our bus trip to Washington, D.C. And Chris from Happy Trails will be there to answer any questions. And we'll have some great desserts as well. So it's a win-win-win for everybody. More details on that at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And friend, that is just barely scratching the surface of what's going on here at Great News Radio. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking about a struggle for many of us. It's the draw of the world. I'll tell you what, the world has a way of just pulling us in and conforming us. That's for sure. And today we're going to be taking a look at the book of James, James chapter 4, and talking about the draw of the world. Coming up right after this on today's edition of Mark and Friends.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood. Just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, my precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. Remember a few years ago on social media, I think mainly on Facebook, there was this thing called the Ice Bucket Challenge. You remember that? It was a video where people got to record themselves getting a bucket of cold water dumped on their head, all to raise awareness for ALS. And the campaign actually worked. It was $220 million that was raised because of that campaign. And it was so funny because it started with just a few people, and then it seemed like everybody started doing it. And some of us even felt, well, maybe I should get involved. I feel obligated to do this as well. And, well, you know what, Fred? Today we're going to be talking about the draw of the world. I'll tell you what, it's so easy to get caught up in things as a child of God because everybody else is doing it. The draw of the world. And if we're not too careful, we can get caught up in those subtle things. We could get caught up in the things of the world. And today we're going to be talking about the draw of the world. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn if you're able to. If you're able to, if you're driving, don't even think about pulling your Bible out, all right? James chapter 4 today, James chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So it says here, do you not know that friendship with the world... Friendship with the world. What is the definition of the word world here? Because in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." I thought God loves the world. Now we see we can't be friends with the world. It's confusing. Well, in John chapter 3, verse 16, the definition of the word world there is people. Jesus didn't die for a mountain. Jesus didn't die for a tree or the oceans. He died for people, right? And in James chapter 4, the definition of world speaks of the world's system. In fact, the original word in the book of James for the word world is cosmos, meaning a system or an order of things. It is a way of doing things. This world system is filled with theories, beliefs, morals, and values. And these theories, beliefs, morals, and values of the world are set up against God. And this world system has a prince. Did you know that? A dark, devilish prince, Satan, who is the prince of this world. Jesus said in John 14:30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. Another translation says, for the prince of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, for you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Watch this. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. This whole world is being rocked, cradled in the hands of Satan, this dark prince. There is a mastermind behind this world system, and it's set up against the things of God. Jesus was talking to his disciples in John chapter 7, verse 7. He says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. The world doesn't hate Jesus because he healed the sick. The world doesn't hate Jesus because he blessed the children. The world doesn't hate Jesus because he walked on water. The world doesn't hate Jesus because he died on the cross. It says here in John chapter 7, verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me. Why? Because I testify about it that its works are evil. So that's the definition of the word world in this passage in the book of James. It talks about the world system. The world system. But it also talks about avoiding being friends with the world. It says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? What does it mean? What does it look like when we're being friends with the world? That means we're walking in tune with the world. That means we're looking like the world. That means we're acting like the world. That means we're thinking like the world. We've adopted the beliefs of the world. Because in reality, there's God's view of marriage and there's the world's view of marriage. There's God's view of abortion and the world's view of abortion. There's God's view of gender and there's the world's view of gender. Friend, it's so easy to fall into the ways of this world. It's so easy to get sucked in. Because there are some of those subtle things that if we're not too careful, we can give into. Like for our money. The world tells you it's yours. You've earned it. You worked hard for it. Do whatever you want with it. But God's word says that he's the owner of our money, and we need to honor him with our money. And we can fall into the way of thinking with when it comes to our jobs and career. Some of us, as believers, are playing office politics, putting down other people so we can look good, so we can get the job, so we can get the promotion, so we can get the raise at any cost. The ways of the world when it comes to job title, some of us find our value in what we do rather than who he is. It's so easy to fall into the ways of the world when it comes to our possessions or our homes. We can do, we get so jealous over that house that's down the road of our house, and it's because it's so nice, big, and beautiful, and so we too want to keep up with the Joneses. Or we find our value in who we are and the type of car we drive. And the problem is when we give in to those subtle things, we look more and more like the world rather than looking like Jesus. Friend, do you know more about pop culture than you do your Savior? Do you know more about your favorite sports team than you do your Creator? Do you know more about your favorite hobby than the God who loves you with an everlasting love? Friend, this world is not our home. It is not our home. Rather than living as temporary citizens of this world, some of us have set up camp and act like we're staying here. We cannot be friends with the world. We cannot adopt the values and beliefs of this world. But God's word also talks about when we do that, we become enemies with God. James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." He uses the strong word of adultery. You adulterous people. Remember that story of the prophet Hosea? God told Hosea to marry a harlot or a prostitute, and so he did out of obedience to Almighty God, and some time later got up and left and went back to her old ways, and God used that analogy of what it's like when we leave our relationship with God. We become an adulterer. But also uses the word enmity with God. It says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" You know what that means? That's like a church word. You don't really hear that word often, but it's the state of feeling or being actively opposed or hostile to someone. And I can only think of one other time of them using, of God's word using that word enmity, is back in Genesis chapter 3. Where it talks about there will be enmity between the woman's seed and the seed of the serpent. And many theologians and commentators, including myself, believe that is a prophecy of Jesus and Satan, how there's hostile towards one another. They're strongly opposed to one another. The same word that's used between the relationship of Jesus and Satan is the same word God uses when we choose to give into the ways of the world and leave our relationship with God. Enmity with God. When a redeemed child of God gives into the pull of this world, it breaks the heart of God and it puts a strain on your relationship with Him. Friend, it's so easy to give into the ways of the world. And not just only in the big things, but in those small, subtle things. There's a Christian company in Minnesota that publishes a newsletter called The Bible Friend. It's called "Which Disturbs You Most?" Let me read this to you. "Which disturbs you most, a soul lost in hell or a scratch on your new car? Which disturbs you most, you're missing the worship service or missing a day's work? A sermon 10 minutes too long or a lunch half hour late? Which disturbs you most, a church not growing or your garden not growing? Your Bible unopened or your newspaper unread? Which disturbs you most, the church work being neglected or your housework being neglected? Missing a good Bible study or your favorite TV program? Which disturbs you most, the millions who don't know Christ or your inability to keep up with the neighbors? Your tithes decreasing or your income decreasing? Which disturbs you most, your children late for Sunday school or late for public school? Which really disturbs you most?" Friend, let's avoid at any cost falling into the ways, the beliefs, and the value system of this world.
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is.
Try, blessed be the name of the Lord Almighty. Friend, thank you so much for letting me hang out here with you today for the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. Until next time, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.